Grant County Sheriff's Office.
Were you able to get a description of the intoxication?
Hi, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, I'm calling. I'm right on the corner of Main Street by Moonflower, and we're driving by, and I'd like to report a domestic dispute of Florida with a white van, Florida license plate, white land, gentleman,
where's
about 5'6", beard. They just drove off. They're going down Main Street. They made a right onto Main Street from Moonflower.
Or what were they doing?
Cooperative, but what'd you say?
What were they doing?
We drove by and the gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
Okay, you said it's a white van?
White van. I can give you the license plate if you give me 1 sec. I took a picture of it.
What kind of white van? Like a big one?
It was a smaller van with the license plate of, it was white, Florida license plate, QFC-G03. It was, the make was a Ford, model was Transit, black ladder on the passenger side.
Black ladder, passenger side.
White Ford Transit.
White Ford Transit.
Before we disassemble this sad, tragic story, I need you to hit that subscribe button as well as the little bell next to it. Leave a comment below, share the video, because YouTube makes it increasingly more difficult to put out quality content that isn't algorithm friendly. So we need your help. Here we go. In the last 5-10 years, overlanding, van life, car camping have really taken on a life of their own. Many people would love to make a living traveling the country in a vehicle and supporting themselves by making videos on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, etc. Van life, vlogging. And Gabby Petito was one of those people. And her partner, Brian Laundry, decided to jump in a truck and head across country and do exactly that. Gabby had always wanted to be a YouTuber. Brian didn't really see the benefit of it, but we'll get into that later. Unless you've been living under a rock or you don't watch television, Netflix just released a 3-part docuseries on Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry. And I watched this because at the time I was also in Wyoming the same time these guys were. And I was aware there was a missing person and a search, and everybody kept an eye out and, you know, did what we could. And sadly, this entire thing turned out really bad. And I want to point out some things that Netflix sort of glossed over. And I'm going to point out some other things from the point of view of someone that's been on the road for 18 months straight living out of a Toyota 4Runner. Everybody I meet tells me they envy my life, that they would want to do what I do for a living, etc. Before you decide to jump into a van with somebody, watch this video all the way through. At any rate, Netflix.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Gabby.
This morning, the tragic death of Gabby Petito back in the spotlight after a newly released Netflix docuseries revealing new details about the unraveling of her relationship with fiancé Brian Laundry, who officials say admitted to killing her in a note found after his suicide.
So Gabby Petito was born March 19, 1999, and she was raised in Blue Point, New York. She had 6 younger siblings and half-siblings. When she was born, after about 6 months, her parents decided to get divorced amicably, and they would still raise her and put her before themselves. Well, both the mother and the father ended up getting remarried. And it's funny because you can see that the daughter always looks for the father figure in her future boyfriend or husband. You really can't miss it. And I'm referring to the way both of her stepfathers look and the way Brian Laundry looked, not his mannerisms or the way he treated her. So, Brian and Gabby met after high school. Apparently, Brian had been sleeping in his car and then he slept on somebody's couch for quite a while. That was kind of his MO, you know? For whatever reason, he didn't live with his parents anymore, and we'll get to his parents, believe me. But he met up with Gabby, and, I mean, love at first sight, apparently. Now, Gabby was a very outgoing girl, very, very friendly, and she was very artistic. And everybody knew that about her. She was very friendly, she was very happy, very vibrant, and she wanted to have a life with Brian. And she wanted to make a living traveling the country and videotaping it. Now, Brian, on the other hand, was also very artistic. And his artwork should have been a red flag. But people look at it as, you know, he's just artistic. He's just brooding, you know, he's internalizing it, etc. But to me, it was a red flag. But he was also someone that looked like he was 10 years older than he was, even when he was 16. And he was very socially awkward, apparently. Kind of the exact polar opposite of Gabby, but sometimes opposites attract. But there were some red flags, kind of everywhere. For instance, Gabby's mother didn't even know that they were dating until Gabby asked her what she thought about her packing up everything and moving to Florida from New York with a guy that Gabby's mother didn't even know she was dating. And that's what they did. Now, the reason to move to Florida wasn't because he had a job lined up down there or he had bought a house or rented an apartment. He moved down there so he could be closer to his nephews and live with his parents. And that's what they did. And apparently, when they first moved in, Brian's mother was more than gracious to Gabby. Apparently, she was a knitter. She would knit things for Gabby and all was well. But then suddenly, that slowly started to turn. The longer they stayed there, the more Brian's mother became more unwelcoming to Gabby. We'll call it that. Apparently, Brian's mother wasn't appreciating how much time Brian was spending with his new girlfriend who just moved from New York down to Florida to live with them and was making it known. And this actually came to a head. Storm clouds were gathering and strange things were occurring. They would argue over things like people not paying enough attention to Brian's mother's pies. You know, the things that you eat at dinner time. Things of that nature. And then suddenly one day, Gabby went to check her mail and noticed that she wasn't getting mail any longer. This was a red flag, big time. When you're afraid to walk out of your bedroom because your mother-in-law is in a bad mood, and apparently it was like that a lot of times growing up, that's an enormous red flag. But according to her friends, Gabby really did love this dude, Brian, even though Brian was not the dude she should have been with, but that'll show itself soon enough. Like when Gabby's texting her own mother saying she went to check her mail, but she didn't get any. And then her mother says, wait, you didn't change your address? And she says, no. Brian's mother changed her address back to New York. That's a huge overstep of boundaries, and it's an enormous red flag, but they just decided to ignore them. So much so that they decided to get engaged. And just like when they were dating, they didn't really tell anybody, which is a weird thing. That's Brian trying to control her. First, he removes her from New York City, brings her down to Florida to his wacky family dynamic, where certain strange things start to unravel. And then he gets her engaged, but doesn't give her a ring. What type of a man doesn't offer up a ring for an engagement? Seriously. But let's continue. So time moves on, and Gabby gets a job at Taco Bell. She is bound and determined to save up and buy a van so she can start and chase her dream of being a YouTube vlogger, crossing the country, hashtag van life. Well, apparently, her working 50 hours a week and actually enjoying her job is another problem. As these texts show, this kid is absolutely out of his mind and is completely insecure, demasculated. This is a terrible person right here, and he's making her feel bad because he's an absolute asshole. A grown man crying in the bathroom and telling your girlfriend about it because she's at work and didn't return your text? Yeah, that's a lot of red flags all right there at one time. But for some reason, this girl is underneath his mojo, or so it seems. I think she believes that if she can get on the road, things will be much better because she'll be realizing her dream and he'll somehow chill out. And that's what she hopes for, and that's what they do. He continues working on the van, apparently. So now, once again, this is where my personal experience in living out of a 97 Land Cruiser, a 2019 4Runner comes into play. Both of the vehicles I just listed are large for one person, but a Ford Transit Connect is smaller than a prison cell, literally. Ask me how I know. You do realize the name of the channel is Jailbreak Overlander? Maybe I'll tell that story someday. At any rate, these people lived with each other. Everything was shaky. This kid was constantly manipulating her and making her feel bad because he was an insecure asshole. A pathetic excuse for a man. Period. I'm just going to say it because Netflix didn't. I'll tell you. And you probably already gathered that. But now they're going to confine themselves in a vehicle where she is chasing a dream that he not only doesn't believe in, but he ridicules her for it. He thinks it's stupid. Because if he's insecure about her being at work so somebody can actually earn money to actually buy this van, imagine how insecure he's going to be if she becomes a big deal on the internet. Yeah. Well, he manages to get her to think bygones are bygones. They get the van, they set the van up, and they hit the road. And she starts filming because in order to make a video for YouTube, you need a lot of footage. And having somebody that's not being helpful or playing ball makes it that much more frustrating, I would imagine. I travel solo for this exact reason. But they hit the road and they make their way out to Moab, Utah. Everybody that does van life, overlanding, car camping, etc., you're going to end up in Moab, Utah at some point or not. And Moab is a tourist town, especially Main Street. And this is where the facade starts to crumble and things start to get really bad. They get pulled over because somebody called the cops. Imagine how much of a spectacle you had to be on Main Street in Moab, Utah for somebody to actually stop and take the time to call the police. But that's exactly what happened.
Grant County Sheriff's Office.
Were you able to get a description of the intoxication?
Hi, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, I'm calling. I'm right on the corner of Main Street by Moonflower, and we're driving by, and I'd like to report a domestic dispute of Florida with a white van, Florida license plate, white land, gentleman,
where's
about 5'6", beard. They just drove off. They're going down Main Street. They made a right onto Main Street from Moonflower.
Or what were they doing?
Cooperative, but what'd you say?
What were they doing?
We drove by and the gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
Okay, you said it's a white van?
White van. I can give you the license plate if you give me one sec. I took a picture of it.
What kind of white van? Like a big one?
It was a smaller van with the license plate of, it was white, Florida license plate, QFT-G03. It was, the make was a Ford, model was Transit, black ladder on the passenger side.
Black ladder, passenger side.
White Ford Transit.
White Ford Transit.
Now, I've been in Moab so many times that a few years ago, I actually did a video on the 15 best places to go in Moab, Utah, to get supplies, to get food, to get anything. You know what I'm saying? And it's amazing to me that somebody would actually be walking up and down the main street of Moab, which is 100% tourist, slapping someone to the point where somebody actually called in, got the license plate, make and model the vehicle, and described the incident to the police officers. So right now, the entire story is unraveling. The red flags have been thrown. Nobody has paid attention, or maybe they have. But now the police are on the hunt, and they do find them.
Driver is showing some obscure driving, possibly intoxicated. currently doing 45 miles an hour. Zone through here is 25. Oh! Subject just hit the curb. Correction, speed limit is 15. You want to place your vehicle into park and go ahead and turn it off for me? No, park?
Oh, it isn't parked yet.
Okay, turn off your engine. Go ahead and set your keys on the dash for me, all right? What's your guys' names?
Gabby.
I'm Brian.
Gabby, Brian, okay. What's going on? How come you're crying?
I'm just crying. We've just been fighting this morning. Some personal issues.
It was a long day. We were camping yesterday, and camping got flies and stuff. I'm sorry I hit the bump there.
I was distracting him from driving. I'm sorry.
So I got this footage directly from Moab Police. This is their body cam. But I can't play all the audio because Netflix and YouTube will block the video. Because Netflix made a documentary, so nobody else can either, which just blows me away. But it is what it is. It's what I mentioned before. So make sure you subscribe, share, and leave a comment below. I'm going to play as much audio as I dare. But long story short is, Gabby is obviously a mess. Her boyfriend is driving 30 miles over the speed limit with a police cruiser behind him, and he hits a curb. And then she takes the blame for everything. He has manipulated her to the point where I don't even know if she knows that he's wrong. You know what I'm saying? He has turned her into the ultimate victim. And according to everybody in her life, she was the kindest, sweetest, most gentle person ever. Somebody that tells you to have a taco-tastic day loves their job. You can't be a mean person, in my opinion. But here we go.
I'm in any trouble right now. So, tell me, what's going on?
She just gets worked up sometimes, and I try and really distance myself from her, so like I lock the car and I walk away from her. What happened this morning is that she's trying to start up like her own little website blog and everything, so I give her time. We really had a nice morning, if anything, but she just got worked up because we were trying to get going and get our day going because we want to go, like, garden for this other time.
Okay. You want to tell me about those scratches on your face?
She had a cell phone in her hand. That's why I was pushing her away. She wanted me. I locked the keys so I could walk away. I said, let's just take a breather and let's not, go anywhere. Let's just calm down for a minute. She was getting a little worked up. And then she had her phone and was trying to get the keys to me. So I got away. I was just trying to, I know I shouldn't push her, but I was just trying to push her away to go, let's just take a minute, step back and breathe. And she got me with her phone.
Can I see your hand? Oh, you got a mark right here.
So this is a really solid dude right here. This is a man's man. They got pulled over because somebody reported him chasing her up and down Main Street, slapping her. And he completely blames it all on her. And he's just lying and lying and lying. And the police go along with it. They actually look at the young lady. They look at Gabby's face and say, you've got a mark on your eye. It looks like you've been hit. They got a call because a man was slapping a woman in the face on Main Street. They find the couple. They find the woman with a slap mark on her face. And what do? They send him to a battered domestic violence hotel free of charge because he doesn't have any money. He doesn't work. She was the one that worked. This was her dream. She bought the van, and he's blaming everything on her like a real man should. And when we get to his parents pretty soon, it'll explain a lot because the apple never falls far from the tree. Sorry, Dad, but it's true. Now, like I had mentioned, for whatever reason, even though they saw the girl with the slap marks right on her left eye, they sent the boyfriend, the one that actually slapped her, the one that the police were called for in the first place, they sent him to a battered woman's shelter, where he spent the night for free, and Gabby got to spend the night in the van by herself. Well, while she was in the van, she started texting her ex-boyfriend, because apparently she trusted him, and when they were together, they were planning on doing this exact thing, traveling the country in a van, starting a YouTube channel. But apparently she was on good terms with him and felt safe with him, or just didn't know which way to turn. But according to what he says, she was looking for a way to get out, and she just wasn't sure what to do. And I think this is where all the problems really started. And this footage right here is from a Whole Foods supermarket security camera. And this is the last seen footage of Gabby Petito ever seen alive again. And as you can see, she's with the world's best guy ever still. She's still walking with Brian Laundry through the Whole Foods supermarket. And apparently his parents complained about this in the Netflix documentary, saying that they overemphasized him getting out of the van and slamming the door. But they didn't have to, because you can watch the footage. He gets out and slams the door. This kid is a textbook abuser, manipulator, scumbag, weakling of a human being. And the rest of the story is going to show that all completely. But this is the last known footage of her right there, ever to be seen, of Gabby Petito alive again. And this right here would be the final interaction that she would have with her mother, where she's saying that she convinced Brian to go out in the woods to camp so she can have the van to himself. And if she paid him, she could keep the van. And her mother says, "Are you breaking up?" She said, "No, I just told him I could make more money as a solo van lifer." And she's driving to the campsite now. After that, August 28th, her mother never heard from her ever again. Now, my theory is this guy is a controlling, manipulative, crybaby, woman-beating scumbag. And of course, if her phone's around, he's going to check it. And I'm sure he knows that she not only texted her ex while he was in the woman's domestic shelter, but she also told him that she could do better as a solo van lifer. Now, some time has passed, and Gabby's mother hits her up, September 2nd, 2021. She doesn't hear back from her. Just got back, haven't heard from you. She hits her up again. "You probably don't have a good signal, haven't heard, I'm getting worried." And then she hits up Brian's mom, just like any mother would do. And then the next time she hits up Brian's mom, she notices that she's been blocked. So Gabby's dad hits him up and says, "Listen, there's a problem here." They don't answer. And then he says they're calling the police. And they still don't answer. So Gabby's mom does what moms do. She puts a post online, and this goes everywhere. Where's Gabby? There's been nothing on her social media. She's not contacting her back. Brian's parents are completely stonewalling them for some reason, or blocking them. They're not even sure why. The father said, "I'm calling the police," and nobody responds. That's crazy. So they contact the police in New York, who contact the police in Florida.
I'm not talking anything.
You don't want to talk to us?
Video released by police in Florida shows the parents of Brian Laundry refusing to speak to them when confronted with questions about Gabby Petito. The Northport police say this encounter took place on September 11th, 2021, at the home of Christopher and Roberta Laundry.
When was the last time that you saw Brian and Gabriel?
Well, Brian is here.
Brian is here?
Yeah, and that's all I'm going to say.
Their son, Brian Laundry, had been on a cross-country trip with Gabby Petito. The two were a couple. Cops told the Laundries they were asked by authorities in New York to go to the house after Petito's parents reported they hadn't heard from her in about 2 weeks.
"Am I able to talk to your son?" The other officer said...
"He's not going to talk to me."
Okay.
We're not going to talk to anybody.
The couple referred the police officers to their lawyer for any questions. One of the officers tried appealing to them as parents.
Okay. I mean, as a parent, you wouldn't want to know where it happened with your...
I understand what you're saying, but thank you. Right. I'm not speaking to anybody.
Yeah, we're not comfortable talking to anybody.
So that's that.
Yeah.
So the police come to your door telling you that you're soon to be... daughter-in-law is missing and we don't know where they are. And she says, "Well, we can't speak to you because we have a lawyer. We're not comfortable talking to you." And yet the missing person's vehicle is right directly next to the police officer in their driveway, even though Brian said that he flew home from Wyoming, I'm sorry, and Gabby got a hotel. He flew home, but also drove the van home at the same time. This is insane to me, and this is at least accessory after the fact, or at the very least, aiding and abetting. Brian made phone calls from Wyoming to his parents that lasted almost an hour, and after those phone calls, his parents wired $25,000 to a Wyoming lawyer. Now remember, they live in Florida, where Gabby moved from her family. How could you possibly not be implicated in this legally? How do you get off the hook?
Family of Gabby Petito, now in Wyoming, hoping to find out what happened to their daughter.
Yes, we've been reporting this week. Petito, who is from New York, disappeared in late August and hasn't been heard from since. Well, she and her boyfriend traveled together in her van and made several stops here in Utah. And now there's even more developments in this fast-moving story. We're following the developments. ABC4's Marcos Ortiz following the search for Gabby, who may be missing in Utah.
He joins us now live in studio tonight. Marcos, what's the latest?
Well, police in Florida are also calling the boyfriend a person of interest, and he's lawyered up, not saying anything. But the focus of the investigation is now in two states, Utah and Wyoming.
As a mom, I had concerns for my daughter going on a road trip in general. I felt safe. They were together. They had a plan. They had an itinerary.
And Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie, who started in Florida, drove her van, eventually landing in Moab. But something happened August 18th on Main Street in Moab. According to a Moab police report, someone reported a possible fight. The male had been observed to have assaulted the female. Police tracked the van near Arches National Park and confirmed it was Gabby and Brian. When interviewing, the boyfriend told police both suffer from a mental illness caused by anxiety. She was crying uncontrollably and admitted her mental health led to many little fights. Police didn't press charges, claiming it didn't rise to the level of a domestic assault. Instead, the officer wrote it was more of a case of a mental health crisis. A website called Profiling Evil tracked their movement in Utah based on the couple's pictures posted on social media. After leaving Moab, according to social media pictures, they stopped at Zion National Park, Cedar Briggs, and Mystic Hot Springs before stopping in Salt Lake City.
And they were staying at a motel out by the airport. And at that point, Gabby had FaceTimed her mother.
Marky Davis operates a website called We Help the Missing and is an investigator for Gabby's parents. Davis claims Laundrie flew back to Florida, possibly from Salt Lake City, on family business and left Gabby behind. But then he returned. On August 25th, Gabby was next seen in Ogden in front of a mural next to a restaurant. It was the last time Gabby publicized her whereabouts, even to her mother. But days later, Davis says her mother got a strange text from Gabby indicating they were headed to the Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming.
It just didn't sound like Gabby. In one, she mentioned her step-grandfather and called him by name rather than grandpa.
But Davis and other search and rescue experts claim there's no evidence the couple even traveled to Wyoming. But that's where her parents are now at, according to a family spokesman. Meanwhile, back in Florida, the boyfriend refuses to talk to police and has hired an attorney. Police now call him a person of interest.
So he was the last known person that we have information was around her. You know, how you define person of interest is up to you, but certainly we are interested in talking with him.
Why won't he talk? I don't care what the situation was at this point. I just want to know what. Did he drop her off somewhere? Did they get into a fight? Did he just leave her? I just want to know.
And according to the lawyer for Gabby's family, the Tetons is the only place they know that she may be. And he says that only Brian Laundrie knows for sure. And right now, he's not talking. For Missing in Utah, Marcos Ortiz, ABC4 News.
So the manhunt is on. They're trying to find Gabby, and they're looking in Utah. And the family and her boyfriend, her fiance, are lawyered up. They will not give them any assistance whatsoever at all. They just won't help, which is, it's exactly what a completely innocent person does. You know what I mean? There was an accident, there was an incident, something occurred, but we've already seen how this dude rolls. You see what I'm saying? He slaps her up. He gets the cops called on him. When the cops show up, he convinces them she did it, or that it was a quote-unquote mental health breakdown. Nope. He's just a scumbag, abusive boyfriend who's been manipulating this girl, and every cry for help went unheard. And that's why I'm making this video, but we're not done yet. Because the family of Brian Laundry won't help the police. They won't give them any information whatsoever at all. And Brian won't help the police because he's having a mental crisis. They're searching for her in Utah. And it turns out she wasn't in Utah at all, because people had actually picked up Brian in Wyoming.
Hi, my name is Miranda Baker, and on August 29th, my boyfriend and I picked up Brian at Grand Teton National Park at 5:30 at night at Coulter Bay. I'm hoping this can help someone identify him, because I saw him from TikTok, which then made me call the authorities, and my boyfriend and I have been in contact with a bunch of different people to help piece together different parts of this case. But we picked him up at Coulter Bay, like I said, at 5:30. He approached us asking us for a ride because he needed to go to Jackson, which we were going to Jackson that night. So I said, you know, hop in. He hopped in the back of my Jeep. We then, you know, proceeded to make small talk. But before he came in the car, he offered to pay us like $200 to give him a ride, like 10 miles. So that was kind of weird. He then told us he's been camping for multiple days without his fiance. He did say he had a fiance, and that she was working on their social media page back at their van. Then once, like, in conversation, I brought up, yep, like, we're going to Jackson, he freaked out. He's like, nope, I need to get out right now. You know, like, pull over. So we pulled over at the Jackson Dam, which I don't know if you're, if you know, like, Teton Park, but it's not very far from Coulter Bay. And if this does, like, reach people, I can post pictures of, you know, exactly where we were. We picked him up and the whole route or whatever, and, like, screenshots of, like, the timestamps. We dropped him off at 6:09 p.m. on August 29th. He kind of, like, hurried out of the car, and then he's like, okay, I'm just gonna go find someone else to, you know, hitchhike. And we're like, okay. It was a weird situation. So when we picked him up, he was wearing a backpack, he had a long sleeve, pants, hiking boots, and he had, like, scruff, but he didn't look dirty. For someone who was camping for multiple days, like, he didn't look dirty, he didn't smell dirty, so that part was kind of weird. And I'm just really hoping that they find her, and this helps someone, like, remember seeing him or, you know, something like that.
So not only didn't this dude cooperate, he also misled people to having them looking for his girlfriend who's missing in a completely wrong state. But Miranda wasn't the only one to pick him up. Enter this woman, Norma Jean, somebody else who was driving along and had picked up a hitchhiker, and the hitchhiker was none other than Brian Laundry. She said he looked like he had been hiking, and he smelled like he had been hiking. If you've ever hiked, you know. She said while they were driving along, he seemed like an average kid, blah, blah, blah. And while they were driving, she had just come from a church service, and while she was taking a turn, a Bible that was on the dashboard actually slid off the dashboard and landed directly in his lap. That's a sign. That's definitely a sign. But Brian simply put the Bible back and asked her to bring him to Spread Creek, which was a campground in Wyoming. That's where he was, not in Utah, Wyoming. She drops him off, and he doesn't even wait for the car to stop moving before he's jumping out. Just like Miranda said, that's what a guilty man does. There it is, right there. So she drops him off. And then that's where the story starts, because he jumps in Gabby's van, drives it all the way home, tells everyone he flew home, but somehow her van is in the driveway. But what are you going to do? You know, poor Brian, he's got mental issues. At any rate, with this information now out there, because strangers have helped Gabby's family more than Gabby's fiancé and his family, and they suddenly start searching the Spread Creek, Wyoming area looking for clues.
Thank you, Danny. The search continues this morning for Gabby Petito. The 22-year-old has not been heard from for weeks.
Fox 13's John Franke is near Grand Teton National Park. That's where the FBI is leading the search. Good morning, John. It sounds like all hands on deck.
The FBI is leading that search here at Grand Teton National Park because this is believed to be one of the last places that Gabby was spotted before she vanished. But as to the scope and size of this search, authorities are being very tight-lipped. We only know that the FBI is now in charge here. Sources tell us that this is because that this is on federal land and because the case is drawing so much attention. Gabby and her boyfriend, Brian Laundry, traveled throughout the West, and Thursday, we received body cam video of an interaction they had with police in Moab, Utah. Well, that video was difficult for Gabby's family to watch.
It was obviously very upsetting to us to see her that emotional, but we had no indication that other than, you know, just by watching it that, you know, they're in tight quarters, you know, for a long period of time, that maybe they were just getting a little frustrated.
And Brian Laundry has refused to share any information with investigators, and that's what's making this so frustrating for Gabby's family. Meanwhile, the FBI has a tip line where they say you can share any information, no matter how big or small you think it is. That phone number is 1-800-CALL-FBI. Reporting from outside Grand Teton National Park, John Franke, Fox 13 News, Utah.
So now the cat's out of the bag, okay? Everybody knows that Gabby isn't in Utah, where Brian alluded to her being there. She was actually in Wyoming. And these are some pictures that Brian took after he killed Gabby in Wyoming. You know, just artsy stuff, because he was a very artistic fellow. The problem is, not only does the metadata from his pictures show that he was in Wyoming when she was killed, but also his cell phone records when he called his parents for almost an hour from Wyoming saying, I need a lawyer.
Investigators say they have a lot working against them since Brian Laundry is keeping quiet.
Fox 13's Scott McCain is live with how investigating agencies are moving forward. Good morning, Scott.
Yeah, good morning, guys. And, you know, there are so many different agencies involved covering such a vast area. The hope now is that with the FBI taking the lead, they can help kind of pull all these different agencies, whatever they found, pull it all together. They have basically an unlimited amount of resources and manpower to try and help get this done. But investigators definitely have their work cut out for them, even with the help of the FBI. And first and foremost, that's because the one and only person of interest in all of this, Gabby's boyfriend, Brian Laundry, he is refusing to say anything at this point. And investigators believe that his information likely going to be critical and crucial to figuring out exactly what happened and potentially solving this case. Now investigators are turning to physical evidence. Former Moab Police Chief and Salt Lake County Sheriff Jim Winder, he believes investigators are now looking to try to compile the digital footprint the couple left behind, especially from their cell phones.
This situation where Mr. Laundry has essentially clammed up poses a problem of significance for law enforcement. If he continues to take the tack that he does, they're going to be in a real tough position.
Now, FBI officials say, look, no piece of potential evidence, no tip, too small, too unregarded. They're going to look into everything, anything. And especially, you know, with all the tourists that are out and about, they say if anyone out there that sparks any kind of memory in them, maybe they were taking some video of something else. And maybe now that they've seen these images of Gabby, like, hey, wait a minute, I saw that couple. I saw that van. Look, they will take it. So, you know, we've got that tip line on our website, fox13now.com. And again, FBI officials say no tip, too small at this point. For now, we're live in Salt Lake City. Scott McCain, Fox 13 News, Utah.
So without the help of Brian, they finally figure out what state she's actually in so they can search it. And now they're looking for the digital footprint. But Brian's devious. He's evil. His parents raised him wrong, and he knows this. So he starts using his dead girlfriend's phone and texting himself back and forth, creating an alibi. She wasn't dead. I didn't do it. Look it, we were texting. But the cops figure this out. So Brian empties her bank account, puts it all into his bank account, and then drives her van back to his house in Florida. even though he said he flew. Must have been a flying van. But eventually, this comes to pass.
News in the search for Gabby Petito. Just moments ago, officials say remains found near Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming are consistent with the description of the missing woman. The 22-year-old was last reported to be in the park late last month, and authorities have been concentrating their efforts there. Investigators in Florida are now searching for her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. He's considered to be a person of interest in her disappearance. ABC's Trevor Ault is in Northport, Florida for us tonight and leads us off.
Tonight, officials confirming they found a body near Grand Teton National Park that they believe may be that of Gabby Petito.
Earlier today, human remains were discovered, consistent with the description of Gabrielle Gabby Petito. Full forensic identification has not been completed to confirm 100% that we found Gabby, but her family has been notified of this discovery.
The discovery coming as officials in Florida hunt for Petito's boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, who's also disappeared. Today, search crews combing through thousands of acres of alligator-infested swamp where Laundrie's family told police he may be. Laundrie was named a person of interest in Gabby's disappearance after returning home from a cross-country road trip without her. He and his parents refusing to speak with authorities about Gabby, drawing protests outside their house. The couple was last seen leaving a hotel in Salt Lake City. Multiple agencies now working in tandem on these cases, sifting through thousands of tips.
He then told us he's been camping for multiple days without his fiance.
Miranda Baker claims days after Gabby was last seen, she and her boyfriend picked up a hitchhiker they now believe was Brian Laundrie, dropping him off that night. And the Northport Police Department says her timeline is plausible.
He got out and, you know, he was thankful and he was kind of in a hurry. So he said he was going to go across the street into the parking lot and find someone else to give him a ride. But when we looked back, you know, 10 or 15 seconds after he got out of the vehicle, he was gone.
And here in Florida, authorities have packed up their equipment and wrapped up their search for Brian Laundrie for the night. They will likely resume first thing tomorrow morning.
So they found the remains of Gabby. They found her. They were on horseback. They really did a great search once they found out what state she was actually in. And it turns out that she had been strangled and her head looked like to be blunt force trauma. But let me catch you up, because while all this was happening, somebody did a welfare call or welfare check on Brian Laundrie's house because they thought something bad might have happened to him. And turns out they were right, because Brian was suddenly missing, just completely missing. And the police, that this dude obviously did it. You'd think they would have kept a really good eye on him, but apparently the police misidentified Brian as his mother. And apparently Brian's mother and Brian's sister got a real chuckle out of that. Here's a text between Brian's mother and Brian's sister. Now remember, Brian's missing. Brian's fiance has been found murdered. And everyone's laughing at that remark because the cops thought Brian's mother was actually Brian. And that's how he somehow slipped away from their coverage, which is shockingly unbelievable. The police let these people down in every step of the way.
And police in Florida tonight are now admitting they lost track of Brian Laundrie after they confused him for his mother during surveillance. Correspondent Erica Jackson has the details.
Like mother, like son. Do you see the resemblance? Northport police think Brian Laundrie looks very much like his mom, Roberta.
They're kind of built similarly.
Northport PD spokesperson Josh Taylor told me police started tracking Brian after Gabby Petito's family reported her missing in New York. That was Saturday, September 11th. Police watched him leave in his Mustang, Monday, September 13th, and come back Wednesday, September 15th.
All I'm going to say is I know where Brian's at.
Chief Todd Garrison made that comment on Thursday, September 16th, confident he knew Brian was inside his parents' home. That changed the next day, Friday, September 17th.
When the family reported him on Friday, that was certainly news to us that they had not seen him. We thought that we'd seen Brian initially come back into that home on that Wednesday.
But Chris and Roberta Laundrie told investigators they hadn't seen their son. since Tuesday. They later changed their statement to Monday.
Was it just someone else that you saw?
I believe it was his mom who was wearing a baseball cap. They had returned from the park with that Mustang. So who does that, right? Like, if you think your son's missing since Tuesday, you're gonna bring his car back to the home. So it didn't make sense that anyone would do that if he wasn't there. So the individual getting out with a baseball cap, we thought was Brian.
Taylor admits it was a costly mistake.
So this entire thing is totally crazy. The Moab police see a woman that's been slapped in the face after getting a report of a man chasing a woman up and down the streets of Moab, slapping her in the face. So they take the guy that did it, the perpetrator, and put him in a hotel for the night free of charge. Then the police in Florida are monitoring Brian because it is obvious that he killed this person or knows who did it because he's lawyered up. Two people leave, one comes back, he has the victim's car. So they're keeping a good close eye on him, and then he gets away completely. So now they have to search for him because now he's no longer just a quote-unquote person of interest. He's now a suspect. So now they're looking for him. And Florida is a tough place to look for people if they know where they're going and you don't.
This morning, the Gabby Petito case now considered a criminal homicide investigation after a coroner officially confirms the remains found in the Bridger-Teton National Forest are hers, while in the Florida swamps.
We're out here searching for Brian Landry.
With no confirmed sightings of Gabby Petito's missing fiancé, who's considered a person of interest in her death, law enforcement teams resumed their search of Florida's 25,000-acre Carlton Reserve, where Laundrie's parents said he went last week. Authorities are using drones, canine units, and all-terrain vehicles to access remote areas of the park.
Terrain's very difficult. Essentially, 75% of it's underwater.
The Okaloosa County Sheriff also posting this grainy black and white photo captured on a trail camera that shows an unidentified male backpacking in the woods hundreds of miles away. The now viral photo led to an extensive search of the area, but came up empty. On Monday, FBI agents carried out a search warrant on the home Brian and Gabby shared with his parents. Laundrie has not been charged with a crime, nor spoken to law enforcement. The cases captured national attention, with amateur detectives combing the internet for clues and sharing tips and theories on TikTok and other social media platforms, including this viral YouTube clip captured inadvertently by Kyle Bethune, showing a white van similar to Gabby's near the campground where her body was found.
I saw the white van, you know, they're seeing flip-flops and the doors opening. But I think it was very, you know, instrumental to get us to where we are at this point.
Authorities have not confirmed this is Petito's van. Petito's body was found under a small grove of trees on Sunday. Memorials for Gabby continue to grow both here in Florida and in the Wyoming countryside, where a simple cross made from river rock sits as a silent reminder of a young woman taken from her family far too soon. After the autopsy confirmed the body as Petito, Laundrie's parents released a statement through their attorney saying, "May Gabby rest in peace." Meantime, investigators are preparing for a long search ahead of them in that swamp today, looking for any clues that could lead them to Brian Laundrie.
So finally, they're out there doing a full-blown manhunt for Brian Laundrie. He is now a murder suspect, and they are on it. But the weather is not cooperating. If you've ever been to Florida in the rainy season, you know what I'm talking about. But these guys were using dogs. They were wading in water that was chest high. They were using ATVs, helicopters, drones, thermals, infrared, everything they possibly could to find this dude.
Marnie, the swamp seemed to be the center of attention once again today. Law enforcement and search crews were deep inside the reserve. This time, they were with canines. After no action at the Carlton Reserve for days, this morning, car after car of law enforcement arrived. And this was particularly interesting, a canine forensics unit. The Pasco County, Florida Sheriff's Office confirming they were called in by the FBI and are using their human remains detection canine at the reserve.
Again, this is an area they've searched several times in the past. The one thing we can tell you is that the area is drier than it has been. There's some law enforcement in the back of this vehicle.
The 24,000-acre reserve is a difficult place to search, but it's gotten easier over the past week because water levels continue to recede. With less flooding, is it possible investigators now believe they could locate Brian Laundrie's remains? They won't say, but Northport police did tell me less than 1 week ago they believe there's a 50-50 chance Brian is dead or alive.
I don't think that if we were to locate his body in the preserve, that it's going to benefit one way or the other the investigation. It will provide closure for the Laundrie family. I don't think it's obviously going to provide closure for the Petito family because they want answers. They want to know why, how, when, all those important things.
And there has been a lot of speculation over the last several days about whether the Laundrie family attorney, Mr. Bertolino, may know where Brian Laundrie is. We actually texted him that exact question today. We texted him, "Do you personally know where Brian Laundrie is?" And his response today was, "No, I do not." Marnie?
Interesting, Brian. Remind us, is this the first time that we have seen canines out at the reserve searching?
It's not. And it's also not the first time we've seen these cadaver dogs out there searching. The sheriff's office reminded us today that they've been called out periodically throughout the search. Today was just another day that the FBI asked for their assistance.
Many want to ask the parents if they know where Brian is tonight. You're outside the home tonight. I'm curious, are police still keeping a close eye, watching that house? And when the parents leave, are they being tailed?
Yeah, it's been quiet out here tonight. The parents haven't left at all today. There's really been no action. There's no marked police cars outside the house, but we do believe there are definitely undercover officers in the area.
So after allowing Brian to completely just get in his car with some backpacking equipment, drive away because they thought it was his mom, you know, it happens, no big deal. They've been out there over and over and over again trying to find this dude, and they can't. They can't find the guy. Not even the cadaver dogs could find the dude. So suddenly, Brian Laundrie's parents decide they're going to go look for him, and they do. And in under an hour, they were able to discover Brian's remains while the police, using all the latest technology and their years and years of experience, couldn't find him. But that's just a coincidence, you know what I mean? What can you do?
Bringing you exclusive information from Fox News, Brian Laundrie's parents unknowingly walked just a few yards away from locations in that Florida nature preserve where police found their son's personal belongings and remains Wednesday morning. When Chris and Roberta Laundrie left their homes before sunrise Wednesday, only two journalists were present. That was a Fox News digital reporter who followed in a separate vehicle and a Fox News channel cameraman who remained on the street. They arrived at the Environmental Park entrance at around 7:25 a.m., and two members of law enforcement arrived wearing hiking attire in a separate pickup truck. One later identified himself as a member of the Northport Police Department, and the other works for the FBI, according to Laundrie family attorney. But again, bringing you this exclusive information from Live Now, from Fox, and from Fox News Digital, Brian Laundrie's parents may have unknowingly walked just a few yards away from the location in that preserve where police found their son's personal belongings and remains Wednesday morning.
So after his parents stalled, delayed, refused to talk, gave Brian every chance in the world to escape, he administered a Full Metal Jacket antidepressant through his skull using a pistol, such to end his life. But fortunately, Brian explained everything in a notebook that the police found with his body. And I'm going to read to you what that notebook said. "This was an unexpected tragedy. Rushing back to our car, I hear a splash and a scream. I can barely see. I found her barely breathing. She was freezing cold. The temps had dropped. She was in so much pain. So I ended her life. I thought it was merciful. I have killed myself in this creek in the hopes the animals will tear me apart, that it may make some of her family happy. Now, many of you might think that I'm being really hard on Brian's parents, but here's the deal. These people aided and abetted, in my opinion, their accessories after the fact. They knew what he had done, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have put a lawyer on retainer for $25,000 after an hour-long phone call in the state of Wyoming, even though he was claiming she was last seen in Utah. These people were completely and totally culpable, and it's astonishing to me that they're not doing time. And raising this kid was an absolute mess. If the mother is upset because people aren't paying enough attention to the pies that she baked for dinner, that's an issue. If the mother's changing Gabby's address without telling her back to New York from Florida, that's also an issue. But this right here is the real issue.
Now the bizarre letter written by the mother of Brian Laundry, the man who killed his girlfriend Gabby Petito and then committed suicide. She seems to be telling her son that she would do anything for him, even cover up a crime. Amber Cagliano has more.
A chilling letter Brian Laundrie's mother wrote to her son has just been made public.
That letter is now at the center of this ongoing legal battle between these two families.
If you're in jail, I will bake a cake with a file in it, Roberta Laundrie wrote. If you need to dispose of a body, I will show up with a shovel and garbage bags. On the front, she wrote, burn after reading.
Laundrie's mom says the undated letter was written when Gabby Petito was alive and well, before the couple even left for their ill-fated road trip around the United States in the summer of 2021. Brian Laundrie would later kill Gabby and then take his own life.
In court documents, Laundrie's mom says of the letter, while I used words that seemed to have a connection with Brian's actions and his taking of Gabby's life, I never would have fathomed the events that unfolded months later. My words to Brian were meant to convey my love and support. The letter was at the center of legal wrangling in a Florida courtroom yesterday. Gabby's parents are suing Laundrie's parents for emotional distress. I spoke to the Petito's attorney, Patrick Riley, today.
What do you make of this letter?
It's incredibly disturbing. Who writes a letter like that to their children? I think there's two reasonable inferences from reading that letter. Either that Roberta Laundrie had a suspicion that her son Brian might commit some kind of crime for which she'd have to help bury a body and bake a cake, or that this was written after Gabby had passed away. And I don't know which one is true, but that'll be up for the jury to decide.
And that's because a judge has ruled that the contents of that letter can be used as evidence in the civil suit against the Laundries.
Now let that sink in. Whether she wrote it before or after doesn't make any difference. She was the type of woman that literally got jealous of her son's girlfriend, fiance, that lives with them in Florida, paying too much attention to her son. There's issues there. There's serious issues there. And whether she wrote it before or after don't make any difference. All of their actions completely are deplorable and criminal, in my opinion. Not to mention evil. My father and my stepmother love me, and on more than one occasion, they've had to show up at a jailhouse in the middle of the night and drop down tens of thousands of dollars to bail me out for whatever kerfuffle I was involved in. One time, it was a big one because I was protecting a woman against her husband that was going to do damage. He had numerous restraining orders, and he was trying to abduct their 5-year-old daughter. I put a stop to it with great vengeance and furious anger. But here's the deal. If I ever killed somebody, I would never, ever implicate my father and my stepmother in it where they could somehow be held culpable for my actions. Never, ever. I just wouldn't do it. It's not what you do. This dude did it, and his parents went along with it, and they literally aided and abetted him to the point where I do not understand how they are not culpable for this as well. They slowed everything down. The emotional distress they put on the parents, the family, and everyone that loved this girl is astonishing to me. Utterly astonishing. Many of the laws in the United States right now are absolutely upside down and backwards. A man should never put his hands on a woman, and a woman should never put her hands on a man. Period. If it happens once, it will happen again. Simply walk away. Being alone isn't the worst thing in the world. It just isn't. Some people need to be with somebody, and that is what keeps them in a relationship like this. Gabby's parents set up a foundation, and I'm going to show that to you. It is undeniable the amount of pain and suffering Gabby's parents and loved ones went through, but they still had the foresight and the intestinal fortitude to set up a website, and it's called the Gabby Petito Foundation. And on this website, you can read Gabby's story, and you can also find resources that will help you if you happen to find yourself in a similar situation and you can't find a way out. There's a way out, and that information is on this website. There's a lot of good information here, but Nicole didn't stop at just making a website to help others and memorialize the tragedy that happened to her daughter. She went to the lawmakers. She did not mess around. These people are definitely stronger than the average people for all the unnecessary pain and suffering they went through. It's bad enough to lose your little girl, but then have the parents of the little girl's boyfriend completely stonewall you and not tell you anything for weeks at a time. Just think about that. And this is how they responded.
This morning, a new effort to better protect domestic violence victims. This was partly inspired by what happened to Gabby Petito. This comes after that police incident in Utah back in 2021, where officers missed the chance to save Gabby from her eventual killer.
But this new bill will hopefully help prevent those mistakes in the future, at least here in Florida. Kelly Cowan joins us now with details of it. Hey, Kel.
Good morning to you. Yeah, the idea behind this bill is to make sure that law enforcement are asking the right questions when responding to a domestic violence call so that they can better assess the level of danger and be able to alert victims who maybe aren't aware of or willing to admit just how serious things are. Gabby Petito's parents worked closely with lawmakers to push for these changes, which are part of the Lethality Assessment Program. It's already in use in 32 other states. And under this program, officers responding to a domestic violence call will be required to ask a set of 12 questions that'll help determine whether the victim may be at risk of being killed by their partner. The mandatory questions cover threats made, access to weapons, types of violent or manipulative behavior, whether or not they're in fear for their life, and other background information on the aggressor that could indicate an elevated level of danger. Law enforcement will be required to advise victims of the results of the assessment and refer them to the nearest certified domestic violence shelter should they answer yes to certain questions or if the law enforcement officer believes that the victim is potentially in a lethal situation. Now, earlier this year, Gabby's dad, Joseph Petito, appeared before the Florida Senate to explain why he believes this assessment program is going to help save lives.
Those questions are the ones that are the most important things. If it wasn't for the officers figuring out that they're in a bad situation and letting them know, hey, listen, you're at a higher risk. I want to get this advocate on the line so we can turn around and make sure you have all the resources at our state's disposal to help you get out of that situation. You know, then what are we doing here? You know, this is what we need to be doing.
Now, in August of 2021, officers in Utah responded to a domestic violence call involving Gabby and Brian Laundrie while the two were traveling through Moab. Several witnesses reported seeing Brian hitting Gabby, and despite her visible injuries, the pair were only advised to separate for the night. 2 weeks later, Brian strangled Gabby to death. Gabby's parents have since sued the Moab Police Department for neglecting the signs of domestic violence and failing to investigate properly. And the state of Utah has also since adopted the Lethality Threat Assessment Program for all of their officers.
All right, Kelly. Thanks.
So Gabby may be gone, but she is definitely not forgotten. A lot of us absolutely still keep her in our prayers, and you should still do that as well. And her parents have not sat idle. They have gone after everybody involved. They've gotten bills passed. They've set up a foundation. And hopefully this never happens to anybody again. It's a sad state of affairs. But here's the deal. Here's the most important thing I'm going to say in this video. If you decide you want to go with van life, hashtag car camping, overlanding with your significant other, make sure before you do this that you've at least lived with them for 3, 6, 12 months before you jump into a vehicle and go to some of the most remote places in the United States where things can get incredibly stressful just from doing daily things, because you're now trapped in a vehicle, you're stressed out, this is an unusual circumstance, people think this is all glitz, glamour, and easy money on YouTube. That is not the case whatsoever at all. And my reason for making this video is I have a serious issue with people that can't keep their hands off of others. And it happens every day, every hour, all the time. And sadly, Gabby Petito's life was cut way too short by someone that didn't deserve her whatsoever at all and took the weak man's way out. He lawyered up and still committed unaliving himself just to escape charges, just to escape the penalty for his sins. But he will have to stand in front of God one of these days, and he's going to have some explaining to do. At any rate, let me remind you to like, share, and subscribe. Leave a comment below, and I will return the favor. I am out.